This is the CertSecurity.com Threat Monitor podcast for April 2nd, 2008. In these semi-monthly recordings, CertSecurity.com contributors offer expert advice on the latest information security threats. I'm Maggie Wright. Through the years, CertSecurity.com expert contributors have spent much of their time pointing out a variety of security best practices. But what about the worst practices? In honor of April Fool's Day, network security expert Mike Chappell continues a month-long series that highlights the industry's most common mistakes. And now for this week's edition of Threat Monitor, Information Security's Worst Practices, Encryption Conniptions, written by Mike Chappell. Here at CertSecurity.com, we spend a great deal of time and energy helping information security professionals explore new security technologies and understand industry best practices. But this month, in the spirit of April Fool's Day, I'd like to instead focus on some common enterprise habits that can cause security problems. After all, if we can't learn from our own mistakes, we're doomed to repeat them. Here's a list of the five worst practices that I'd like to share with you. Number 1. Using WEP encryption. Frequent readers of this site know that I beat the WEP drum often. If you're still running WEP encryption in your organization, it's time to face the brutal facts. The simplistic encryption techniques used by WEP may be broken in seconds using freely available tools. As the TJX data breach proved, WEP's flaws provide little real security. If you're looking for a secure alternative to WEP, try WPA2. Number 2. Practicing security theater. Essentially, security theater is the practice of implementing complex, expensive security measures solely for the sake of making people notice that you're spending a lot of time and energy on security, despite the fact that your controls are easily defeated and largely ineffective. For example, consider the recent FFIEC federal requirement that banks use two-factor authentication for sensitive transactions. In an effort to skirt this rule, banks added a series of security questions to their standard password-based login processes. As all security professionals know, the use of two something-you-know factors is not the true intent of two-factor authentication. So in this case, security theater provides an illusion of security while avoiding the implementation of new IAM technologies. Number 3. Including the encryption key in email messages. This happens to me about once a month. Someone sends me a sensitive document by email and, meaning well, uses the encryption feature of Microsoft Office to preserve the confidentiality of the document while in transit. The person then proceeds to say something like, "I encrypted this confidential file. The password is football." I gently explain that this doesn't really solve the problem. The simple solution is to use an out-of-band transmission method for the password. For example, send the email and then pick up the phone and call the recipient to provide the password. The likelihood of the same individual intercepting both your email and the telephone call is remote. Mike Chappell will reveal more worst practices after a quick word from CertSecurity.com.
Do you know what to look for when shopping for password management and provisioning tools? If not, then there's no better time to learn than right now. Check out CertSecurity.com's newest Identity and Access Management Security School lesson, using IAM tools to improve compliance. In this lesson, expert Tom Bowers reveals how to save money, plug the holes in your IAM strategy, and most importantly, improve your compliance efforts. You'll learn how technology can help map IAM technologies and business processes, best practices for privilege management, and how to find the right product for the right price when it's time to make a purchase. Go back to school today. Visit CertSecurity.com/IAM School. That's CertSecurity.com/IAM School.
Number 4. Failing to patch. We all know that applying security updates is a critical component of secure system and application administration. But why don't we do it? Consider Oracle databases as an example. A recent survey showed that 2/3 of Oracle DBAs have never applied a critical patch update. This is despite the fact that Oracle essentially begs DBAs to apply the patches, sometimes warning of dire consequences. Remember, hackers read the same security patch announcements that we do. Leaving networks, databases, and third-party applications unpatched is asking for trouble. Number 5, failing to encrypt laptops. Many of us have been through it at least once in our security careers. Someone loses a laptop containing sensitive information about your employees or customers, and you're forced to send out embarrassing notifications and purchase identity theft protection for thousands of people. Fortunately, there's an easy way to avoid this altogether. Use disk encryption products to render mobile data usable if a device is stolen. In February 2008 alone, the privacyrights.org chronology of data breaches listed 5 breaches that resulted from the theft of unencrypted laptops. These took place at high-profile organizations such as Kraft Foods, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and the National Institutes of Health. It's also interesting to note that more than half of these worst practices come from the encryption technology domain. As a community, we either don't understand encryption well enough, or we tend to plow ahead with full knowledge that we're perpetuating some of the items on this worst practices list. There's an obvious question springing from all these examples. Why do we, as professionals, keep repeating the same mistakes? There's not one worst practice in the list above that's recent news. Even flaws in WEP encryption have been around for over 5 years. The lesson for all of us is to always keep the basics of information security in mind. It's great to go out and implement new complex security systems, but don't do so to the detriment of implementing time-honored best practices. That concludes this week's edition of SearchSecurity.com's Threat Monitor podcast. You can always download more of our podcasts by visiting www.searchsecurity.com/podcast. Thanks for listening.